this evening. If you'd turn with us over in the book of Exodus, chapter number 14. The book of Exodus, chapter 14. Boy, I appreciate the meeting God allowed us to have this morning. And you remember, many of our families are gone traveling this week. It's vacation time. And so you pray for them that God would give them traveling safety. You pray for us tonight. Exodus chapter number 14. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and account before, I'm going to use a brother Mark Cooper tonight, before this and that. And amen. And you can help me with all those pronunciations. The Bible said in verse 3, For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, They are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. For Pharaoh will say, And I'll harden Pharaoh's heart, he shall follow after them. And I'll be honored upon Pharaoh, upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I'm the Lord. And they did so. Verse number 8, The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. The children of Israel went out with a high hand. Verse 10. 9, you'll see the Egyptians pursued after them. All the horses, chariots, and Pharaoh, his horsemen, his army, overtook them encamping by the sea. Verse 10. When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were so afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. And the Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, Speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. You may be seated tonight. Father, we thank you for the good day that you've given us. Thank you for this time together around the reading of the Word of God. We don't take this lightly tonight, Lord. Many times in my youth I've taken my health for granted. But God, I don't tonight. I thank you for the eyes you've given me to see. I thank you for the voice that you've given me to speak. And now I pray, Lord, you'd let preaching be easy tonight. Let us be a blessing to your people. God will be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. I sure do need you tonight, for I'm a needy preacher. In Jesus' name I pray and I ask you, amen and amen. Did you notice what he said in verse 15? The Bible said, And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me, speaking the children of Israel, that they go forward? We'll preach on this subject tonight real briefly on when life has you stopped. When life has you stopped. Now we see the urgency of Moses. He's trying to push them forward. I'm reminded of Brother Randy's lesson this morning. What a timely message to our church. How God wishes us that we would go forward and do great and mighty things under His supervision. But tonight I want to give you this little sermon on when life has you stopped. There's three things I want to share with you tonight. Number one, there are the options that we find. Number two, there are the oppositions that we face. But thirdly, there are the opportunities that we may forfeit. Now, when life has you stopped, we have three options in this passage of where people are. I find myself many times that spiritually things will happen and it will have me stopped in my tracks. I want to say that these options that we have, number one, they present all three to us tonight. The three options they had. Number one, there's the option of going back. I don't want to go back. I've got nothing to really to go back to. You see, the pleasures of sin are simply for a season. And there is pleasure in sin, but I'm going to tell you there's a big payday after the pleasures of sin. Now, there's the options we find. Number one, you'll find in verses 10 through 12, there was the option of going back. And many have. The Bible said when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell you in Egypt, saying, let us alone. You ought to be glad you've got a preacher that'll mess with where you are. Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. Now the Bible teaches us of many people that turned back and went back to what they were doing. Boy, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times the world intrigues us with what it has to offer. As I've said, young people, sin is fun, but you always remember this, sin is only for a season. Because there's a payday coming someday. America's having a great time in this sinful world. But you remember, America, there's a payday coming someday. Sinner, you may love staying out there with the hogs and the slop of this world. But you remember, there's a payday coming someday. Have you ever noticed that the devil will never show you the back side of the billboard? He'll show you the front side. He'll show you all the pretty pleasures of sin. But he don't show you the back side. The weeping, the regrets, the repercussions of sin. And here the devil waved a carrot in front of God's people. And to many, no doubt, the devil said, well, why don't you go back? Paul experienced that in the day that he preached. And in those days, he wrote something to us over in 2 Timothy 4 and 10 to warn us about going back. They said, now why shouldn't we go back over there to the Egyptians? Man, we was doing good over there. He said, I don't understand why you didn't just leave us alone. Have you brought us down here now to die? Why have you brought us out of where we were? Egypt is a type of the world. Paul now is writing in 2 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 10. There's a Bible character that surfaces on the page of our Bible called Demas. The Bible said that Demas hath forsaken me, walked off from the greatest preacher behind the shoes of the Lord Jesus. Walked off from him, Demas hath forsaken me. Look, having loved, and underline this present world. This is all temporal. You better be working for the eternal. Boy, isn't it amazing how in our culture, everybody wants a payday Friday, and just because God ain't paid off on Friday, you don't want to serve Him Monday through Thursday. Honey, you better get your eyes off the payday Friday and realize there is a God in Him that does have a payday. Hallelujah. This present work, boy, we want it now. God, I've served you. Now fix it now. Let me tell you, God is a God of now, but He don't always do it right now. I love preaching. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. He's departed to Thessalonica. He left me. He turned back and went to doing what he was doing. He loved this present world. Brother Randy said it so this morning. There's a grip and a stronghold in this present world, and it's pulling at our flesh. Boy, this flesh bothers me tonight more than it's ever bothered me since I've been saved. You would think that this flesh would be subdued, but it's not. It just raises its dirty head up every day of my life. Makes me want to have a smart mouth. It got in my wife on the way to church. You know what she said? She said, when you get out, I'm going to kick you. I said, honey, I ain't done nothing. I'm just minding my own business. I said, why you say that? She said, I just felt like saying it. See, some of you ought to live with who I live with. We've all got it in us. Be careful. Don't go back. Now, the Bible tells us something about going back. In Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Look in verse number 58, if you would, this evening. Luke 9, verse number 58. There the Bible said, Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds there have nests, but the Son of Man have not where to lay his head. He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow ye. But let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Be careful for the pull going back. I don't want to go back where I used to be. You know, I may not be where I ought to be, but thank God I ain't where I used to be. I know I fall short every day. I know I could be closer than where I am tonight. And may I say, that's my issue and my problem, not the Lord's. But thank God I'm not where I used to be. I'm glad I wake up and know how I got there now. Hallelujah. You see the options we find when life's got you stopped. They wanted to go back. Be careful, don't go back. God will let you. Can I say that? Be careful, don't act stupid. He'll let you. The options we find the options of going back. Number two, the second one. We have the option of standing still, and sometimes it's needed. But at this time, it wasn't needed. The Bible said this in our text verse of Exodus chapter number 14. They said in verse 13, Moses said to the people, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. There's a desire to stand still. I'll be back to it, but I've got to leave. Thirdly, the options we find, not only the options of going back and the options of standing still, but in verse 15 and 16, thank God when life's got to stop, we do have the option of moving forward. He said, and the Lord said to Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me, speak to the children of Israel, that they go forward. In Philippians chapter 3 and verse number 13, Philippians 3 and verse number 13, here Paul is teaching and he says these powerful verses. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. And reaching forth on those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now the options we find that there are three options in this text. They could go back, they could stay where they were, or they could go forward. We all have those three options tonight. We can all go back to the world and suffer the consequences. We can all stand still, or we all have the third option of moving ahead. I think a lot of times we want to get hung up in the past of what's happened to us back then. Well, let me tell you, who hadn't had trouble? Who hadn't had heartaches? Sometimes you've got to let go of what's happened and press ahead for the glory of God. But when life's got you stopped, not only do we see the options we find, but there's the oppositions we face. I want to say there's the pull of carnality. Boy, the world pulls on us, don't it? Have you ever noticed this? When you walk into a store and you hear the music playing and you start saying the words you sung 40 years ago. Isn't that amazing? The pull of carnality. I know none of y'all have this issue, this problem, but you know, I can go into a tobacco store that's selling tobacco, and I'll be honest with you, Marlboro really don't bother me because they killed my brother. But I'm going to tell you what bothers me is Copenhagen and Redman. I mean, I'll be honest with you, sometimes I wish I could just get a dip and enjoy life. I know none of y'all have no vices. You know, sometimes, though, I would just love to participate in these carnal desires. Amen. What are you preaching about tonight? Well, I'm preaching about this opposition we pay. The pull of carnality. Be careful, young people, what you put in here. Because it'll play rewind the rest of your life. You know, we sing a song in Bible school. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. It's a reason for that. Wouldn't it be a blessing when we got saved that our mind was washed? But I'm going to tell you, I still remember the pool room days. I remember the times that I was doing things that God wasn't pleased with, and it appeals to the flesh. So we've got to watch these oppositions we face. The pull of carnality. Any man that'll tell you that they're not faced with the carnality of the flesh, he's a liar. There's a man come to me and got in my chair one day, and he said, "Preacher, I want to ask you something." He said, "I used to drink a lot of beer." And he said, "Sometimes my flesh is wanting it." And a preacher told me that if I still wanted to drink beer, I wasn't saved. I said, "You go tell him that Bible said he's a liar." You better know your flesh loves sin. Don't you turn it loose, friend. You take a little pig. You clean him up. You put a little ribbon on his tail and you turn him loose. He'll get in the first hog, the first slop hole that he can get into. That's just the way me and you are. That's why we need stability in the church house and one another. That's why we need prayer and persistency in the Word of God to keep us out of the hog pens of this world. We could all lay out of church 6 weeks and nobody would know us. Better watch your flesh. Now the oppositions we face, the pull of carnality, number two. Then that of going back, you see, there's a pull of carnality, but there's a desire to stand still. There's not only a pull of carnality, but there's a place of comfort. You know, it's hard to do something when you're comfy. Man, I got three pillows. I get them all positioned. Miss Renee say, "Would you go do something?" I say, "No, I'm comfy." Just the way we are many times in our Christian life, we're comfortable. And so, you see, there's the opposition of standing still. There's the place of comfort. And then number three, the oppositions, not only the pull of carnality, and not only the place of comfort, but if you're going to go forward, there's a price of conflict. I think a lot of times the reason none of us want to go forward because we know it's going to be a price to pay. I knew when we took that wall out it'd be a price to pay. I've got a preacher friend building a new church in Louisiana. We was out there a couple of weeks ago. And you know something? They're building a new building, but there's going to be a price to pay. But it's worth it. You see, any time you take ground for the devil, he's going to make you pay for it. In your Christian walk of life, you have an option to stay right where you are, or you can go forward by the goodness of God. So I want to say this tonight on the third point. You see, this price of conflict. Listen to me, church. Listen. The Lord had a divine plan for them. Would they follow it? The Lord had a definite place for them. Would they find it? The Lord had a delightful purpose. Would they fulfill it? You see, the Lord has a plan for us. He has a place for us. And He has a purpose for us. And I don't know about you, but I'm interested finding out what they all three are. I've never been one just to be happy and doing nothing and seeing nothing. I've said before this church dies, I'm going to turn pews over. I've said before I let you go to sleep, I'm going to bring rocks and throw at you. You see, when it's got you stopped, the options we find, the oppositions we face, but lastly, the opportunities we forfeit. I got to thinking, and here's the meat of the sermon, listen to me. I got to thinking, Brother Tim, if they stood where they were or if they went back, they would have missed something. I don't know about you, but I'm not interested in forfeiting any opportunities for this church, for my life, for my family. I'm not interested in throwing up a white flag of surrender and say, I quit. I give in. Preacher, ain't you been hurt? We ain't got time enough for me to tell you about all that. Amen. You've been hurt too. You've been disappointed. I've been disappointed. So now we've all got an option. We can go back. We can stand still. Or we can go forward. I'm interested in going forward. Now, I want to say this tonight. If they had not went forward, they'd have missed the power of God. I'd hate to know that I, from henceforth out, I was going to miss the power of God. Wouldn't that be amazing to come to a church and never experience the power of God? You say, how would they have missed the power of God? It's right there in the text. They fixing to drown Pharaoh. And if they'd have went back and stood still, they'd have missed out on it. Because they went ahead, they got to see the power of God. Oh, I don't want to miss the power of God. God told Moses, He said, put it out there across the water, and it just congealed. 2 million young'uns walked across that night. I'd hate to know, because I sat still or went back, I missed the power of God. How we need the power of God. You prayer warriors, you know what we need to be praying at Liberty Baptist Church? The power of God. How many lost people was here this morning, you figure? You look around tonight, it's a good crowd. We're what, 75% of what was here this morning? 70%? 65? But let me ask you this. If we would pray the power of God, wonder how many sinners walked out of these doors this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm interested in going forward because the power of God. They seen God do things that they would have never seen if they'd have stood still or went back. I want to see Him do great things. We bought cars. We support missionaries. But I don't know about you, I'm in this thing for the long haul, and I want to see the power of God in a way like we've never seen it. You see, they would have missed out on the power of God. Number two, Exodus 15, when they cross over there on the Red Sea on the bank, if they had went back or stood still, they'd have missed the praises of God. Exodus 15, verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare Him a habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt Him. Time out. If they would have went back or stood still, they'd have missed the power of God. They'd have missed the praises of God. You know, I love to hear church singing. Could you imagine? It's been estimated from 2 million to 3 million Israelites. We'll go for the middle of the road. Let's say it's 2 million. Could you imagine 2 million in harmony singing unto the Lord? The Lord just delivered them. Have you ever noticed you sing better when the Lord's done something for you? Could you imagine 2 million Israelites with God upon them? And there Moses, he's a song. He's leading them in this song. Said, God is our salvation. Said, hey, he's done drowned Pharaoh. He parted the waters. And God is worthy of all of our praise. He's still worthy of our praise. The Bible said, praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him. Don't let the world knock your praise out. See, if that went back or stood still, they'd have missed the praises of God. I love old-fashioned singing and preaching. I love it. Thank God we ain't in here in this contemporary outfit. I'm so glad we still got them old songs about the blood. Somebody help me preach on a Sunday night. Would somebody help me preach on Sunday night before you go light your grill up Thursday? Oh, they'd miss the praises of God. How I enjoy church and good preaching and singing. I know the preaching ain't much, but the singing's out of sight. You see, the opportunities that we'd forfeit, if they'd have went back or stayed, they'd miss the power of God. They'd have missed the praises of God. In Exodus 15:22, they'd been 3 days now, and they began to murmur. They was Baptists. I know there's Baptists. And be careful about your little murmuring. It'll catch. When they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses. Imagine that. Saying, what shall we drink? And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he cast in the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. I'd hate to know I'd miss the prescription of God. Oh, what are you talking about? Well, he's made a lot of bitter things sweet, because I moved ahead. Some of you living in a bitter past, and you're never going to get better till you leave it. Obedience does not exempt us from trials and hurts. But I will say this, He can take the bitterness out of our lives. How, preacher? By the tree. The old rugged cross. Thank God I've not missed the prescription of God. Wouldn't that have been amazing if they wouldn't went ahead that have missed the prescription of God? I don't know about you, but I'm all about Calvary tonight. Thank God for the power of Calvary. Then fourthly, if they'd have went back or stayed, not only they'd miss the power of God and the praises of God and the prescription of God, but in Exodus 16, I want you to look here in verse number 1, they would have missed out on the provisions of God. Well, God's faithful. God has supplied every need that we have. I praise Him and thank Him for what the offering was this morning. I was getting a little nervous from last week. God's faithful. He's so faithful. You know something, when you open up your cupboard, you ought to realize that ain't you. I'd hate to know that I went back or stood still and missed the provisions of God. There's no telling what God's going to provide. Look in Exodus 16, verse number 1. They took their journey from Elim, all the congregation of the children of Israel. They came to the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. Brother Mike, they was belly aching about you too. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread the full. For ye brought us forth in this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. It does matter who your preacher is. Said He didn't rain bread for them. This is what y'all don't know. It may dawn on y'all one day, but every church is one preacher from going liberal. And if I was preaching as an evangelist tonight, I'd say something make your mouth drop. But you need to see the truths of the Word of God. God honors a man's ministry. And if you don't believe that, you're too crippled, too high for crutches, friend. Yes, God will see about you, but you let the leadership go bad and see what God does. You see, I don't want to miss the provisions of God. Then said the Lord to Moses, Behold, I'll rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day that I may prove them whether they will walk in my way or no. Verse 7, In the morning then shall you see the glory of the Lord. For he that heareth your murmurings against the Lord, and what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake to Aaron. He said, Tell all the congregation, the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. It came to pass as Aaron spake to the whole congregation. Verse 11, The Lord spake to Moses, saying, I've heard the murmurings. And even ye shall eat flesh in the morning, ye shall be filled with bread. Ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. Came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, It is manna, for they wist not what it was. And Moses said to them, This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. Now, I said all that to say this simply tonight. I don't want to go back and I don't want to stand still because I don't want to miss the provisions of God. You see, He rained quail out of heaven for them that night. But every morning, watch this, for 6 days a week, for 40 years, they came out of their tent door and there was manna on the ground that God had purposely given them. One of the writers said this, If you would calculate 2 million people, what God done every day for that congregation, it would be 10 trains with 30 boxcars that would hold 15 tons per boxcar. That'd be 300 boxcars full of manna that He'd done for them children every day for 40 years, except on the seventh day. That's a big God, and that's a lot of manna. I'd hate to know that I stood still, missed out on the provisions of God. But then lastly, I'd hate to know that I stood still. And in Numbers chapter number 9 and verse 15, I'd hate to know that I missed out on the presence of God. Numbers chapter number 9, I want you to notice what God done for this people. The Bible said that there was a fire by night and a cloud by day. In Numbers 9 and verse number 15, there the Bible says, And on the day that the tabernacle was reared up, the cloud covered the tabernacle, namely the tent of the testimony. And at even there was upon the tabernacle, as it were, the appearance of fire unto the morning. So it was alway. The cloud covered it by day, and the appearance of fire by night. Could you imagine coming by Liberty Baptist Church? There was a cloud right over it by day. And when you passed it by night, it wasn't street lights. It was the fire of God from heaven over His place. You know what this signified? It signified the presence of God with His people. I'd hate to know that my children miss the presence of God. See, I had an option. Many times in my life, Brother Jerry, I had an option whether to go back or stand still. Or I had an option to listen to what God told me and move forward by faith. And because me and my wife have moved forward by faith, we've got in on the presence of God for our children. Wouldn't that be something to go to church all the days of our life and never experience the presence and the power and the provisions of God? Boy, I don't want to go back, and I don't want to stand still. I want to go forward. I don't want to get caught up. I don't want to be singing a song about somebody done me wrong song. Some of you, somebody's done you wrong. You just sung that song to death. You on the 12th verse. Get over it. Like my wife says, move on, crybaby. Go forward. I don't want to go back and I don't want to stand still. I want to get what God's got for me. My grandchildren are counting on it. And I sure do want them to know something about the God of this Bible, don't you? Man, can you imagine a fire by night and cloud by day, and it signified the presence of God? You know something? And it depended upon the people whether they had it or not, because when that cloud moved, they were to pick up and move with it. We better mind Him, church. We better be sensitive to Him. We better get out of the past. You know, this is one problem with about a fourth of our church, because, or maybe a third of our church, because two-thirds of the church is new. It revolves. But that's good. It means I can preach sermons over, Brother Tim. Some of you that are here tonight, you remember what God used to do. Well, He's the Lord and He changes not. And some of you newcomers, you've never really seen what God can do yet, but just hold on. It's coming. And it's worth moving forward for. I don't want to go back to where they was. I'd hate to know I was going back to a deacon board and voting. And I got some best deacons in the country. I got no problems with that. But I'd hate to know that I was preaching under a thumb, whether if I could preach and say something or not. I'd hate to know that we had to vote on fifth Sunday night if we could help a family that had been burned out. What happens if it ain't got a fifth Sunday night in it? I don't want to go back to them onions and leeks in Egypt. Honey, I done got over in Canaan land. I done seen what God can do. And I'm never, never going to be satisfied till I'm in His presence and see His glory. I done gone too far to turn back. Boy, that'd be a good message. That'd be a good title to that, wouldn't it? Change that title to that on the internet. Gone too far to turn back now. Hallelujah. Let's go home. Stand up tonight.